Very excited for this book, the Book of Numbers. What a beautiful book, what an amazing book. And you guys are going to have a lot of great time in this book. Honestly, it's loaded with a lot of information, examples to learn from. Okay, so today what we'll do is talk about why I chose the Book of Numbers to start with. Why are we studying this book? Okay. If you read the Book of Numbers, it starts with this. Then the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai. That's how it opens up. And the Book of Numbers is very, very important for us to learn, is because it actually describes Israel's journey towards the Promised Land. So let me put it this way. The nation of Israel, the covenant people of God, they left Egypt. They were in Goshen, and they make their way to Sukkot and Ramses, and from there they are making their way to Mount Sinai, where God appears to Moses and gives him the Ten Commandments. And from Mount Sinai they are making their journey to the land of Canaan, which is the present day Israel and other parts of Lebanon and some part of Syria, which has not been occupied by Israel yet. But so why are we studying this? The first reason is because it is a type of we journeying from this world into the world to come, or as I would put it, from this age that we are living in, which is called in the Bible the present age, and traveling towards the age to come. Okay. We are traveling from this present world to the city that is to come, where God is going to be, literally, God is going to dwell on the earth among his people. I can't even fathom that thought, actually. It's going to be amazing. And it's going to be, as we would say in our today's language, mind-blowing. Just imagine God dwelling among us, literally. Having his headquarters in the present city, Jerusalem. Having this awesome, huge city which where the streets are of gold and gates are of pearl, and ruling through that city the faithful ones. So it is our journey. I see, and we should all see as we go through this book, as we are traveling, okay, from Egypt, which is the picture of the world, into the wilderness, which is again in the world we right now. For us, this world is wilderness, okay, and we are going towards the land of what? Canaan, which is the promised land flowing with milk and honey, which was a literal land for the covenant people, and for us is also a literal land which is going to be turned into new earth and heaven, as we say. So if you look at Numbers 33 verses 1, it says, "These are the journeys of the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt with their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron." So Moses and Aaron were the two people who were the leaders who were leading this whole group or whole huge group of people. Now, why the book name is Numbers? This book is called Numbers is because it starts with a lot of numbers. It actually, the chapter 1, and towards the end of the book, we find two huge census, headcounts of people. Alright? So, first few chapters when you read, you will be just reading the names of tribe and their people and the people and numbers and numbers and numbers and, you know, and if you stop there, you might be like, okay, this book is full of numbers, but do not do that. Okay, you have to pass through chapter 1, chapter 2 and get into the meat of the journey. Okay, so that is why the book of Numbers is called Numbers. So it actually gives you the head count of the people who start their journey from Mount Sinai to the land of Canaan. And the second census is taken when actually the new generation, which is born in the wilderness, and they are going to actually go into the land of Canaan. But the old generation, which has been head counted at the beginning, they all die in the wilderness. They don't make it to the land of Canaan. And there is and Book of Numbers actually tells us why they did not make it to the land of Canaan. So that is our lesson. Because you know what? We don't want to die in the wilderness. If I would speak to you in spiritual meaning, giving you physical analogy. Okay? So we don't want to die like these people died and their carcasses fell in the wilderness. They did not make it to the land of Canaan. Their children actually made into the land of Canaan. Alright? So we see that's the journey. So that is the first reason I want to really go into, because through what mistakes they did, what sins they committed, what were their attitudes, what was their actions, what their thinking was, what were their temptation, all this is going to really, really equip us to not repeat the same mistake. Okay? It's going to be very, very practical for us. Now, if you look at the notes, you will find two maps. Okay? The first map, I just want to briefly touch through. If you look at the map here, you see the starting point is Ramses. You see that? Towards your left, that would be west, northwest. You see Ramses? And then you see Sukkoth, the land of Goshen. This is exactly the place where the nation of Israel were in bondage. Okay? And they make their way from Ramses, Sukkoth, and you see that they cross over go to Etham, and they cross over Red Sea, parting of the Red Sea, moving to Bel Zephon, making their way all the way down. If you go to see, it goes all the way to Mount Sinai. Can you see that Mount Sinai? Right at the bottom south of the peninsula here. Now, from Ramses, please understand this, from Ramses, that is Egypt, all the way to Mount Sinai. That whole journey is recorded in the book of Exodus. Okay? So I would really, really encourage you guys, everyone, to start reading the book of Exodus. Okay? Maybe two chapters, one chapter a day, whatever. It's going to record from Ramses their journey all the way to Mount Sinai. And Mount Sinai, they're going to be stationed for almost a year. Okay? And the book of Numbers is actually going to track from Mount Sinai all the way to the border of Jericho. Okay? They do not enter the land in Numbers. they stopped, they're about to enter. So they are at the edge of Jericho, is the first city that they will encounter when they enter the land of Canaan. So that's, so we will look at the journey from Mount Sinai all the way to just at the edge of land of Jericho. They are going to enter. Okay. And at the, just before entering Jericho, Moses speaks to them, and that's where we find the next book, Deuteronomy. He basically the word, the book Deuteronomy is a reiteration of everything just before they enter the land. Moses is talking to the new generation basically and telling them the whole thing. Okay. And telling them how you need to not make the mistake that your fathers made in the wilderness and they died. You better be courageous and faithful and obedient, and God will bless you in this new land. Okay? So that is the nutshell. In the next week, next class or next week, I will give you a hand up. I will give you the map. We will do some markings and we will follow through the... If you look at the next map, you see this whole peninsula from Egypt, between Egypt and Canaan, you find this whole, so many wildernesses over there. I have actually put like a rectangle around the different wilderness names. One is wilderness of Shur, wilderness of Etham, wilderness of Zin, wilderness of Sin, Arnon, all these. So if you look at the book of Numbers, it is a wilderness journey. Okay. In fact, in the Jewish Old Testament, this book actually is called In the Wilderness. That's what it's named, In the Wilderness. So now you know why the book of Numbers is called Numbers, and why is actually should be called is In the Wilderness, because that's what it records. Okay. Now I have a lot of verses that I have given you, but I'm not going to read them, just to put in perspective that this whole journey is in the wilderness. And look at let's pick a handful of them and just read them. It says in Numbers 1:1, we see that it's they are in the wilderness of Sinai. Now this is where the Mount Sinai is, where God appears to Moses and delivers him the commandment. And then you know what these people did. They make a golden calf and they are tired of it. They want to go back to Egypt. And they're testing God there. So in Numbers 3:4, it says, and Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered strange fire before the Lord. Oh, by the way, one more thing I wanted to tell you. Who were the two leaders who were leading the people of Israel? Moses and Aaron. What were their job? Moses was a leader, spiritual leader. And Aaron was a priest. Okay? You needed these two people to lead them, right? And this is a type of Jesus Christ. Jesus is a leader like Moses, and Jesus is also the priest like Aaron. Right? Today he is a high priest helping us to go through the wilderness journey. You get my point? So both these offices of Moses and Aaron is found in Jesus Christ. That's why he's called the Messiah. That's why he's called in Hebrews the captain of our salvation. He's the captain. The only difference is this. The only difference is this. Can someone tell me what is the difference between Moses, Aaron, and Jesus Christ? What do you think it is? There's one difference. Okay, I'll give you. Moses and Aaron were physically leading them. They could see them. Jesus, we cannot see him. Right? But does that mean that he is not leading? No. Through the records of the scriptures, we see that he is the shepherd. He's called the shepherd, the great shepherd in 1 Peter 5. He's called the great shepherd who's leading his people into the land of Canaan. So when I'm referring to our land of Canaan, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the New Jerusalem city, the coming kingdom. That's why it was upon Jesus' heart so much that he spoke about only one thing. Kingdom of God. Kingdom of God. Kingdom of heaven. He was just hammering away that. Because he wanted them to make it into the kingdom. He is called the captain of our salvation. His job is to bring it, as it says, many sons to glory. The word glory is just the other way of saying to bring many people into his kingdom. This is found in Hebrews. Anyways, let's move forward. Then we find wilderness of Paran. You can see in your map later on. These are all different wildernesses where they go through. Now, I want you to understand one thing. That, think about these people. They are not like 20 or 200 people. There were literally more than 6 lakh people. I don't know if you've seen the wilderness, the desert place. And I was just watching a video about that path that they went through. It's nothing but just mountains, sand, and that's it. Dry land. Imagine. They're walking through this journey. Alright? It's hot. But it was not hot for them. Why? Because God was before them. He was becoming the pillar of cloud. There was a pillar of cloud over them as they were journeying. Okay? And so that they would be protected. So God was with them. His presence was with them. And it's not a hard, it's not an easy road. Would you say that? Right? It's not. Going through wilderness is not easy. Right? Parched land. There's just nothing. Miles and miles away is just rubble, dust, and rocks, sand. We see wilderness of Paran, wilderness of Zin. All these verses are from Book of Numbers. I want to specifically go to Numbers 14:29, where I've highlighted in yellow. It says, "Your carcasses," God said, "your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. And all that were numbered of you," that was in the first chapter, "according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me," they are going. So, note, he's given the age, right? Yeah. 20 years and above, all are going to die in the wilderness. They are not going to make it to the land. And anyone who is below 20, that is going to be the actually new generation that is going to enter the land. Wild. It's wild to think that. Huh? Verse 32, "But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredom until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness." So here they are going to be wandering till you guys are all dead and gone. Then I will let them go inside. "I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation." This is the reason right there. They were an evil church. You see that? The word congregation means gathering, right? Evil. Now, why were they evil? They were not obeying God. They were complaining, they were murmuring, nagging, not believing in God. They started mingling with the women of Moab, started worshipping idols, And God said, ah, you're not going to enter. Okay? That are gathered together against me in this wilderness, they shall be consumed and they shall die. Wow. And that is exactly what happens. Notice in verse 35, he says, I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it. God makes up his mind and he says, he will do it. He will do it. And that's another thing we learn from this book. He will say, he has whatever he said in New Testament, he will do it. Don't think that he will wink an eye. No, he will do it. Numbers 21:11, and they journeyed from both and pitched to Ijabarim in the wilderness, which is before Moab, towards the sun rising. So we will actually go next time, and I'm going to really take you through the journey from the book. So all that is recorded. Can you imagine? God has recorded every single detail in this number of people. Now, in the first chapter, it is recorded around 6 lakh people, and that is only men, not counting children and women. Okay, we will go through the numbers, but just 6 lakhs were men. Because they, why was the number taken, census taken? Because they are going to be facing battle. So they need to have strong men, know how many people are there to go into fight. We'll look at that later on. So we'll see next is wilderness of Arnon, and you can see that they are just going through this wilderness. Then we move to wilderness of Etham in Numbers 33, and then we see wilderness of Sin. That's a name actually of that place, wilderness of Sin, and wilderness of Zin. So we see this, the whole book is of the wilderness. That's why it is very, very important for us to learn. Now, question: why God takes them through the wilderness? Test them. God could have, just like he opened the Red Sea and let them walk, God could have taken them on the eagle's wing and brought them to the land of Canaan, directly shipped from there. By the way, do you know the number of days journey from Mount Sinai to the land of Canaan was how much? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter
11 days.
Yes, 11 days. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 1, and if you look at verse 2, it says there are 11 days journey from Horeb. The word Horeb here is the same as Mount Sinai. By the way of Mount Seir, which is Edom, unto Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass, notice now next verses, and it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month that Moses spoke to children. Imagine they are 40 years in the wilderness. And Mount Sinai to Kadesh, which is land of Canaan, was how much? 11 days journey. I can't figure out that equation. Can you? Something that you could make in 11 days, it took 40 years. 40 years because almost one year they were at the Mount Sinai, and then 38 years and 11 months it took them to go to the land of before Jericho, stationed there. You know, that begs a question. And that really puts fear in my heart. Why? Why? Was God merciless? Was God mean? Was God liar? A liar? Or God did not have any means and ability to take them further? He lost his power. Was it that? Was it God? No. Notice it was the people. It were the people. they made the choice, a wrong choice. They stopped believing. And they, all they did was they looked at their physical circumstances. They looked what was going on in natural habitation. Always. And that is a danger. When we start looking at natural. Oh, this is not happening in my life. Oh, that is not. I don't know what will happen. Where am I stationed in my life? And we just look at our physical environment and where we are naturally. We're going to be copying the same example. And as it says, no, history repeats itself. Can be true for you. Or we can say, I don't want to repeat that history. Learn from it. Why God chose to take them through the wilderness? Because God wanted to test them. To prove them. It is like to put a stamp on them, dokimazo, which is approved. Like when a new car is made or when anything new is made, they test it out before launching it or placing it in the real environment, right? It says they get a stamp, approved. Have you seen that? When you have papers passing back, stamp, approved. After checking, scrutinizing, examining, approved, gone, right? God chose this wilderness journey for them to be tested, to be approved. Are they worthy to enter this new land? You see? You don't get promotion in a company till you're tested. It's the same principle. Because you know why? Here's the thing. Here's the human nature. Listen to them carefully. We can talk all we want. Isn't it? We can say so much. And so great boasting we can do. I love the Lord. I am going to be obedient to the Lord. I love Him. I put Him first. We can say a lot. But it is on those days where you have trials and tribulations that comes out reality. Do you really love God? It's like marriage. You enter into marriage, honeymoon, everything is fine, good. Oh, honey, I love you. You know, and then what happens? There are rough patches in life, right? Rough times. And a lot of people today don't make it through rough time, and what they do? They depart, which is called in our language here, divorce, right? That's exactly what they did, these people did. They divorced God. And so God divorced them. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 2, and keep in mind the way by which the Lord your God has taken you through the wilderness these 40 years so that He might make low your pride, meaning you humble you, and put you to the test to see what was in your heart and if you would keep His orders or not. I'm using a different translation here to make it more simple in understanding. And He made low your pride and let you be without food and gave you manna for your food, a thing new to you, which your fathers never saw, so that He might make it clear to you that bread is not man's only need, but His life is in every word which comes out of the mouth of the Lord. You see that importance over here? You know, this is what many Christians and we think. Bread is my priority. Bread is a metaphor used here, where we just thinking of natural, right? In our day and age, we can put my work, my physical life, my current life, and I don't put the word important. That's not priority. So God is taking them through this to show them it is not the physical circumstances that is important. What comes out of the mouth of the Lord is what is important. Okay? So, my third point that I want to bring out, why we are doing Book of Numbers, and I want you to notice these things, because we will have a lot of quiz and discussion, to really pay attention to God's dealing. You know, if you want to really, really get to know your God, you should, every account that we are going to go through, you see God. What is His reaction? What is His action? What does He say? You want to really highlight those things. Okay? Because in this book, it is going to show us God's full thought and His feelings. For example, in Genesis chapter 17, verse 7, remember God said to Abraham, I establish my covenant between me and you and your descendant after you throughout their generation as an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. And notice what He says, I will give to you and to your descendant after you the land where you live as a stranger, all the land of Canaan. So God made this promise, and we see Him keeping that promise through Exodus and through the book of Numbers and through the book of Joshua, where book of Joshua is where they actually are in the land and they are overcoming different cities and they are occupying the land of Canaan, the land of Israel. Alright? So that's kind of the chronology of our books in the Bible. Genesis, beginning. At the heel of Genesis, we see Joseph. Where is Joseph? Huh? In Egypt. And who comes in Egypt? The 12 sons of Jacob, right? And they multiply. Huge. They become huge in numbers, right? But the Pharaoh has died and new one has come who does not like Israel, and they make them slaves. And we find that in the book of Exodus. We see the Exodus book, the journey from Egypt all the way to Mount Sinai. Then we come to Leviticus, which is stationed in Mount Sinai. Levites are chosen, and how the tabernacle should be taken care of. God's all that is the book, whole book of Leviticus. Then we come to the next book, Numbers, which we are dealing with. Mount Sinai to all the way up to the land of Moab, the border of Jericho. And then we launch into the book of Joshua. We see the Jericho is the first. Remember, the walls of Jericho come tumbling down and they enter the land. Okay, and then we see everything happening in Israel. The kings coming, Solomon and Saul, David and so on. Fascinating. Alright, so my point is that we need to see God's thoughts and feelings in this book. For example, in also 11:20, it says, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wept before Him, saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? So, what you want to be careful here and observe what God loves and what He hates. Okay? And when we do that, you know, how He responds and what statements He gives, all this is going to help us to get to know God more deeper. So look for that. My fourth reason is, you know, Book of Numbers is quoted and referenced in the rest of the Bible, many places, in Old Testament itself and also in New Testament. Do you know that famous verse, John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Do you know the context of this is in Book of Numbers? It comes from Book from Numbers, where Moses lifts up the brazen serpent. And we'll come to that account. So notice in John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, notice that, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Most of the people perish in the, because what? They do not believe. We find in three different books, Peter, Jude, and Book of Revelation, an interesting character which is found in the Book of Numbers. Three chapters are dedicated to this scenario. It's called Balaam. Okay, Balaam was a prophet, and Balaam hears donkey speak in human language. God makes the donkey speak in human language to Balaam to rebuke him. Okay, so we'll look at that. Notice it's found in Peter, Jude, and Revelation. Okay, and it is told us, do not hold the doctrine or teaching of Balaam, because Balaam, what he did was he was trying to distract the people of Israel, God's people. Actually, he was trying to put them against God, and he uses tricks to do so. We'll see that as when we come. Fifthly, and this is my strongest point, and this is why I really, 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 really want us all to go into this book. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. Let me just read that first. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, that is Red Sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Because Moses, baptizing to Moses means Moses was their leader, leading them. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. Meaning God provided. Spiritual means God was the one who gave them. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now what, notice verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our, notice we are put in here, our examples. Wow. I mean, that is just enough for me. Because you know what? When it says, now these things were our examples, we need to know this book. Not just this book, even Exodus, we should be knowing, right? Because it's our, it is there, written down for our example. And what is that? To the intent, we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And he gives us four accounts. One, neither be idolaters as were some of them. Now this is a reference in Exodus chapter 32. Okay, this, neither be, I remember they made the idols through by taking the ornaments of the people, and they melted and turned into an idol, and they wanted to go back when Moses was taking some time to come back from the mountain after receiving the Ten Commandments. They said, you know, let's make a god and go back to Egypt. Okay, so they became idolaters. Verse 8, it says, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. That reference is in Numbers 25. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. We find this in Numbers 21. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer, in Numbers 16. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. It's like a sandwich. Do you see the sandwich here? Verse 6 talks about now these were our example. Verse 7 talks about now all these things happen unto them for examples. And they were written for our admonition. Meaning the word admonition means warning. Upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So he's saying it's written for us. Upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Meaning we are at the brink of the age. Of this present age. We are entering. We'll be entering into the age to come. And verse 12. So then let him who thinks he is standing securely. Beware of falling. And that analogy is. Maybe it's like you're climbing. A cliff. And you're almost trying to make it. And you fall. Beware of falling. You know, we are confident. Now I'm going to make up to the peak. And something happens and you are gone. That's the analogy. So, really the book of Numbers is a gift to us. Why? So that we can learn from the mistakes of others. Okay? My point number two, we should read it with an eye to see where these same attitudes, practices, habits are not coming in our lives. And if they are, we need to repent. Because there is a danger of falling away. And we'll close with this one passage. You know, the book of Hebrews again talks about the same book of Numbers, and applies it to us. Look at this, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 19. It says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of testing in the wilderness. See, it's referring to that. Now, just follow through this passage quickly. When your father tested me, proved me, and saw my works 40 days. Therefore, I was grieved with that generation. And I said, they do always error in their hearts. And they have not known my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. This rest is what? Is the other word for saying my blessing of entering the land of Canaan. Blessed land. And our rest would be what? Kingdom. Okay. Take heed. So when you hear this word, take heed, you say, pay attention. I got your attention, sir. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you. Now you, he's talking to us. Okay, this pronoun, you, watch it. An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So when you see this word unbelief, this is faith. That is another word, faith. It's the same thing. Okay. But exhort one another daily. This is our responsibility with each other. We need to exhort each other daily. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke. However, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore he that they should not enter his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see. What do we see? That they, he's giving the conclusion. So they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now what is unbelief? Faith. Because look, in continuation of this passage. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us entering into this rest, of his rest, sorry, and any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached. See, they were also preached the gospel. What was their gospel? You know what is the word gospel means? You know the word gospel means?
The good message.
It's exactly. It's a good news. Good news. You read in a paper. Right? Oh, got a good news. Right? The borders of US have been opened up. We can now go there. Right? People can migrate there. Good news, people think. Right? It's like that. Here. So he was like, God gave them a good news throughout the journey. That you, I am leading you to the land of Canaan. New land. Land of blessing. Land of blessings. You will have your own inheritance. You will have your own houses. Your own land. No more pilgrim and strangers. You will have your own substance there. That is the good news. So it was preached to them, just like it is preached to us, he's saying. But for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But this gospel, this good news preached did not profit them. Oh, it should not happen with us that this good news is not profiting you and me. What was this? And why was this? This is awesome. This is very important. Next part. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And this mixing is in another analogy of when you mix substance in the food to bring it flavor, right? Or nutrition. That's what he's using, that word mixed. They did not mix what? Faith in that what they heard. So notice, they heard. They heard, but no faith. Now you might be thinking, what does that mean? So I'm going to give you a simple line. Faith is action. So is this, they heard, did not do it. That's called not mixing faith. So in closing, they heard the word, my first point, they heard the word, but they did not respond in right manner. Second thing we learn is that there is a requirement for the word to benefit and profit in our lives. And it only happens if we mix action or faith with it after we heard. Number three, we have to actively apply the word that we hear in and mix it with faith. Number four, guess what? Only listening is not sufficient. It needs our active response. Faith is the ingredient that actually pleases God. We find that in Hebrews 11:6 and in Romans 10:17, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when you hear the word, you do it. And this is the danger. And this will cause you to come short of entering the promised land. You will be sitting and hearing. Amazing, Pastor Rajesh. What a message it was. Really amazing. But you don't do it. I'm not losing anything. Because I'm going to do everything that I can to hear and do it. And I'm sure we all want to do that, right? So, remember, hear, if you can get anything from today, hear and do it. You know, it's like today, let me give you today's analogy, like maybe you'll be able to understand. Let's say you sit on YouTube and you're learning a skill. You can sit on the couch and you can go videos after videos after, like I do, like for example, I if you're trying to learn tennis or any sport, you watch videos and videos and videos all day. You can do that for a month, but you don't go out and practice at all. How is it going to benefit? That's exactly the same thing. You're hearing, but not doing anything about it. You see that? I hope that brings the point. It's just trying to put in a simple language. We hear it, and we say, yes, I'm going to do it. And then you don't do it. That's exactly what was happening with these people. So it is very, very important, in fact, vitally important, to hear what God is saying and do it. Don't ask questions. I'm telling you, don't waste your time asking questions and analyzing. He says, do it. That's what you got to do. Simple. It's same again, like going to gym and working out, right? You don't have feelings sometimes, but you go and still do it. That's action, right? And then only then we see what? The results. Right? So only having mental assent or head knowledge, as you will say, of the scriptures is not enough. It's not going to take us into the promised land. We need to fear falling apart. Alright, so that's what we learn. And this Israelites fell short of the promises of God. Why? Because they had this testimony that they heard it and they did not do it. So do not let that be our testimony of life and mine too. And guess what? Our future is in our hands. Our future is in our hands when it comes to matters of hearing and faith. So let's not be passive hearers, but active doers. And God will bless, God will guide, and God will teach. That's it for today.